It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, we are bravely going into the great beyond.
Yeah.
Condenser mics. wow, I'm nervous about this. All right.
You are?
I really am.
Huh.
I do not like that hiss.
Oh. Well, why'd you have to bring it to everybody's attention? Now they're going to notice.
Because we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
But first, hello, everybody. welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world with brand new, way too much money sound equipment. we're the only ones. Everybody else is still using the tin can and the string.
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 101.
101, although we're recording it on the day episode 100 is airing.
Right.
We're taking Valentine's Day off because we're romantic people. Shut up. But anyway, so this is our first time with our brand new equipment, at least most of it. We're not using some of it because some of it pissed me off. actually, let me rephrase, all of it pissed me off.
Well, you know what? The first thing that I feel when, you know, I see all this equipment is that it's so much more than we deserve. I mean, for such a substandard podcast, you wouldn't think that we should have such nice equipment. I mean,
yes.
You got some nice stuff here.
And especially given we have no idea how to use it. this is a thing here, but we have gone largely analog here, people.
Yeah, that's true.
We are dealing with actual microphones. We each have our own.
Yeah.
We have not yet worked out how to do one channel for each of us, unfortunately. The mixer knows the two channels, but Audacity doesn't give a fuck.
Windows knows.
Windows even knows. Audacity doesn't give a fuck.
Audacity is the
Audacity
honey badger.
May not be capable of giving a fuck,
yeah,
from what I read on the forums.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means we might switch to a different software. I don't know.
Oh.
But we have real mics plugged into a real mixer.
A real mixer.
That then goes in via USB to the computer. We also have one preamp that will do some cool things. Unfortunately, we discovered that when that is plugged in, it makes really loud background noises. Some of you, especially with headphones, are probably noticing some background hissing and stuff. We don't know what we're going to do about that.
No.
We would appreciate any advice and any feedback about how bad it sounds and anything you know that might fix it, because we might be fucked. And I spent too much money for us to stop using this stuff.
Well, but, you know, we went back and listened to an old podcast to see, because I thought, well, surely there's background, I mean, you know, the snowball or whatever we were using,
yeah,
surely that would have also created that kind of hiss, but it didn't.
No.
There wasn't any at all.
Because it's a condenser mic, I mean,
yeah.
I think.
But this system we have was purchased on the advice of another podcast. An anarchist podcast that's actually been broadcasting just a week or two less time than we have.
Which we should have guessed then. They're just kids.
No, but the guy who runs it has been in this business for a long time, and his podcast does sound very good. I listened to some of it, and I don't remember any, you know, background noise or hiss with that, although I was listening on computer speakers or whatever, so maybe I wouldn't
notice. Well, that's it. Yeah, on the speakers, I don't think this is too bad. With the headphones, it's a problem. Can we email him and be like, what do heck?
I don't know. I don't see why not. I mean, I think they have quite a fan base. I don't know if you can get through their email noise, but maybe.
Maybe with threats?
Well, the thing is, they posted this like they wanted people to do it.
Yeah, he posted a big thing about the equipment and the kind of stuff you should get, and we literally got, like, my wife took the links from the thing found them on Amazon, bought them.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Dead on. This is literally, with the exception of this cable.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, the preamp is plugged into. Maybe this is an evil cable somehow.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know why.
It's a stereo cable, not a mono cable. Do we care?
That shouldn't matter.
All right.
I mean, it's...
It's quarter-inch to quarter-inch, male-to-male.
Yeah, most of these things are pretty standard. You got this at Radio Shack?
Radio Shack.
Yeah.
With the exception of that, everything is absolutely, literally the stuff he said to buy.
Yeah, I don't think that should matter. and we're getting hiss without using it. So
we're getting some. We're getting a lot less.
But now
so
I've...
it could be worse.
People. I've done quite a bit of recording. Not as the recorder. That's why I don't know what I'm doing. But my partner, who, you know, I make music and stuff with, he's the one who does all the recording, and we always have to deal with background noise in our recordings and hiss or whatever, and it's just there. And I almost assumed it was in every recording you ever heard until we went back and listened to the old podcast and it didn't have any.
I want to check with the people I know that do podcasts, because, and it may be because they're in a sound studio. I mean, it may be because even Happy Jacks has built a studio.
Well, but I don't know. There are a lot of things that can cause it.
I remember, for example, the cord thing was an issue. We are dealing with 15-foot mic cords, even though we're only going like 1 foot.
Well, and the snowball plugged right into your computer, and I believe it had some shielding and stuff built in for having it plugged into the computer. Whereas here we just have a mixer and a USB cable. You know, connecting this is a standard USB.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any kind of special shielding or anything to prevent any hum from coming from your computer, and that being a problem. But since we do all the recording on your laptop, we can't shut that off. So, and there's no real way for us to test it to not have any hum in it.
Actually, I think the ports are identical to the cord on the snowball.
Well, but the cable is a special cable, right, from the snowball?
Yeah, what I'm saying is if the ports are identical,
we could switch
use
them out.
That cable.
And see if it has any...
Except I'm worried that cable is bad now, which is why
we had the crappy
sound.
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, at least for this week, people, you're going to have to fucking live with it. This is what you've got. If you have any suggestions or advice, or just, I mean, to somebody, just go on the blog and let us know how bad it is.
Well, also, and in terms of...
And if you will stop listening because of it, because it could be a factor.
Yeah, and also, let us know how the levels turned out, because we were checking levels before.
Yeah, we were playing with the levels.
If one of us needs to be turned up, down, whatever.
We did learn you will hear much less of the producer.
Probably, yeah.
We actually took her level for the fun of it. And she yelled, and you could barely hear, and you couldn't make out anything, so... We'll have to translate that stuff. Anyway, so this is airing on Valentine's, but for us it's the 7th.
Yes, right.
So, how was your week?
Oh, it was good. I'm trying to think. I mean, we didn't really do anything spectacular. I'm working on projects and whatever, waiting for you to finish.
I am very close to being done.
Finish the script. You know what? I listened to... sometimes I listen to old episodes now.
Yes,
it's kind of
yes.
A little hobby of mine now, or when I have time, because usually right before I come over here, I've got an hour or two to sort of kill, and I'll go ahead and listen to an episode before I come over. And so today I listened to episode 50, and episode 100 has a question about, would you rather be assimilated by the Borg or...
Or the dark side, yes.
And episode 50 has the Jedi or Sith question in it.
Oh.
Just coincidentally. Also, Steven has a question in that episode. And, of course, Steven has a question in episode 99. So,
you mean episode 100?
No, he doesn't have one in episode 100.
I thought he did.
Or maybe he does.
It wasn't. Because it was Kia twice and Craig. I don't know. We recorded episode 100 a few weeks ago. I know you all listened to it a week ago. And later I'm going to post it, and then I'll see again, because
yeah,
I have them.
Oh, okay.
But right now we don't know.
No,
I think you might have been 99. You're right. No, it was 99, because it was the crazy vampire changeling thing.
But I thought the bigger coincidence was episode 50 had a Sith question, in episode 1.
There we go. That's
coincidences just follow us around in this show.
This podcast is joining the dark side, basically, is what we're saying.
But yeah, I can't think of anything really interesting to report. I'm glad to be here. I was really looking forward to getting together because even though this is our Valentine's episode, and happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. We love you. Be our Valentine, except we're both already spoken for. So.
And I hope you enjoyed Mardi Gras, which should have been this past Tuesday, if you're listening, right? Because Mardi Gras is on the 12th.
Fat Tuesday is 2 days before
Valentine's Day, I believe.
Wow.
You know, interesting thing. You said in a past podcast something about that I won't tell people when my birthday is, but the last time... last year we broadcast on, well, we didn't get together on my birthday, but Thursday was the 16th on my birthday. And I talked about what time I was born and everything.
I just remember when we were working for you, you would not tell
us. No, I didn't make a big deal out of it then, but my birthday.
You made a big deal of not making a
big
deal.
Okay, fine. But my birthday is going to be 2 days. If you're listening on Valentine's Day, my birthday is 2 days from now. And, I just realized, like 2 days ago that when I was born in 1969, it was the Chinese New Year.
Oh, it went that late?
I was born. Yeah, I was born on the Chinese New Year. And also, it was the last Sunday before Lent, so Mardi Gras was 2 days later.
Mm, so as a two-day-old, did you party?
I don't know. I don't remember.
And then you gave up nursing for Lent? That's a problem.
But yeah, I should have known because I knew I was born on the new moon in February. It was Sunday, new moon. And, you know, that's the Chinese New Year is, it's very often the second new moon, rarely the third, but very often the second. So that would have been the second one in the year.
So you're going to be 44?
44. Now wait, how old are you? You turn in...
turned 36 this 36. Last month.
Okay. So I'm 8 years, apparently, 8 years older than
apparently
you?
Apparently you are.
Huh.
Grandpa. 8 years older than me.
Wait a minute. So when I was graduating high school, you were still in elementary school.
Yes. When you were graduating high school, I was in the fifth grade.
Wow.
Suck on that.
Wow. Wait, you were just getting into high school when I was graduating from college.
Yep.
Boy.
Yep. You are 1 year younger than my older sister, so that should make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, you often talk about her like she's a lot older than you.
She's 9 years older than me. That's a lot of years.
I guess so.
You are old, is what I'm saying. You are an old bastard.
Yeah, 44. Oh, well. You know, after I turned 40, it was like, I kind of had this feeling like, finally. Like, I've been 40 for, like, most of my life, and now I actually am 40, and it feels right.
No, see, I'm all about I was all about the 35, because that's one that I have now aged out of the demographic that anybody gives a damn about.
Mm.
18 to 34 is the demographic.
Well,
that products and shows and things want. They no longer care what kind of toothpaste I use, what kind of shoes I wear, or what kind of TV I watch.
Well, right, but I was never interested in the things that I mean. I was never interested in the things other people in my age were interested in, so they never cared what I thought.
Because you were always 40.
Basically. I mean,
age two.
You know, I remember when I was 15 complaining about, gosh, what are girls wearing today? They got to, you know, put on
now,
more clothes.
Here's going to be the weird
people
thing.
People thought I sound like an old man.
Will you still be 40? So, like, when you're 60, will you still maybe? Is it just that you're an old fucker, or is it that you're permanently 40?
Well,
it's too close now to tell.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know. After I turned 40, it felt like I'd been 40 for so long, and now I do still feel 40. I mean, 44 doesn't feel like anything.
No, it's
but
not.
Now,
it's, 44 is not a
thing. When I turn 50, I don't know if I'll feel 50 or if I'll still feel 40. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
But it seems like I've been 40 for so long that I'm just so used to it. Maybe I'll feel different when I'm 50.
Know,
I don't know.
For having nothing happen this week, you've had a lot to say.
Well, why don't you talk about your week then?
My week has been quite interesting.
Well, tell me about it.
Two things.
Okay.
First, this is the first week of my weightlifting.
Oh, you're weightlifting. Okay.
Yes, my weightlifting. This week I started. Tuesday I did a lower body workout with a little bit of core. And today I did my upper body workout with a little bit of core. And I think it went well.
Did you experience any soreness or anything?
I won't know yet for the upper body. Tuesday was the lower body. Wednesday I was a little sore. And today, oddly enough, today what was bugging me more was my legs rather than my upper body. But nothing too terrible. And I think on at least a couple of them, I'm going to notch the weight up slightly for next week.
So you really haven't given, at least you haven't given me an update on like how much weight you've been losing or if you've been.
Well, I talked about the new clothes, didn't I?
Yeah, but
that's all I know.
Okay.
The new clothes, 2 inches smaller in the waist and a size smaller in the shirt. The 19th, the day after President's Day, I am back at the doctor, so I'll know more then.
Do you have any idea, since all of this started, how much weight you've lost?
I know roughly where I was when I started, but I don't know recently. Because in the beginning, I lost like 18 pounds.
Right away.
And really, since that point, we've never been
super
sure.
Okay.
The next time I went back 3 months later, I had basically lost one more pound, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then the time after that was this last time where it was all weird, and I may have gained 5 pounds or kept my weight the same or lost 14 pounds, depending on what scale you believe when. And so we don't really – that one's kind of a wash. This will tell me more. I may not have lost much weight, though, because I'm in such poor shape, I think my legs have put on muscle from the cardio. So it's possible – the two may be evening out. I don't know.
Yeah,
the clothing
happens.
Was the first sort of undeniable thing that clearly something's happening. That, and as I believe I mentioned, it is harder for me to open doors with my belly.
No, I don't think you did mention
yes.
that.
That was the real clear sign to me.
Open doors with your belly.
Yeah, like especially ones with like a crash bar or something. You just walk into it and your belly just pushes it and you don't use your hands or anything. It's more difficult. I can still do it. But and this was not something I had considered. It's a bit of a mixed thing. I did not.
You're gonna miss that, huh?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So what's the second thing?
All right. Well, second thing is last night finally saw Looper.
Yeah, I did see that also a few weeks ago, and I forgot to mention it.
Oh,
obviously,
really?
It didn't make much of an impression.
Really?
Yeah. It was okay. I mean, why? Did you think it was, like, really great? Or?
Well, here's my take on it.
Okay.
Trying to be as objective as I can.
All right. I don't know why you'd be subjective.
I think it was a very good film. I feel it was, compared to most stuff out there, a fairly original story. I felt it was shot fairly well. I felt it had great performances in it. That's the objective opinion.
Okay.
Subjectively, I was bored. I didn't get into it. Hmm. But I really feel like somehow that was on me, that wasn't the movie. But I was really kind of bored and didn't really care. And I'm not sure why.
Okay, well, something just...
The heat has turned
he just kicked on.
Let us know if now it's even sounding worse. Tell us. This is an experiment with you guys telling us how shitty our sound quality is.
Okay, now, I guess for me, I didn't feel like Looper made very much sense.
Oh?
Yeah. It was a huge logical... I don't know if I want to talk about it because it's spoilers for someone who hasn't
Don't do it.
It,
but there are a few, actually. I mean, and they sort of deal with that the time travel stuff... It's hard to do the time travel stuff unless that's going to be the point. And the time travel stuff was not the point of
Looper. No, that's right, it wasn't, but
they wanted to tell a story and they used that as a device.
Sure, but some things happened and then other things didn't happen, and I don't know if that could work.
Paradox and causality were played with very fast.
Right. But what I'm saying is that they seem to establish certain rules about paradox and causality. And then they broke their own rules.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
That was what I meant by fast and loose.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And it bothered me quite a bit. Yeah, I thought, like you said, the performances were good, I suppose. As far as the originality of the story, sure, I hadn't seen a story quite like that before. It was kind of interesting.
You could find its roots in other things, but just when I compare it to most sci-fi and action films that have been out recently, this seems like one of the least derivative and cliched
yeah,
stories.
Yeah, although I thought it was, there was something really implausible about it to me, even on that level, just the plot level. So yeah, I, you know, it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but I don't think I thought it was horrible either.
I was intensely fascinated by Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a young Bruce Willis.
Which I didn't think worked very well.
I didn't think it worked very well sometimes, and sometimes I thought it worked eerily well.
Man, I didn't think it ever
there
worked.
There was one scene in particular that I was like, shit. Like, it really was, to me, was like he was possessed by Bruce Willis for a second. I was like, really?
No,
wow.
I didn't think there was one.
Although it was
it
a little weird, he did seem to be doing more of an impression of Bruce Willis and not necessarily an impression of the character Bruce Willis was playing in this movie.
Hmm.
But you know, it's Bruce Willis. I've seen him so many damn times now, and he pretty much is the same dude all the time, like, at least nowadays.
Well, I think Bruce Willis has
a... I'm a big fan of both of them.
Yeah, I think Bruce Willis has a fairly distinctive style in acting, and
yeah.
I didn't think that that was portrayed very well at all. I also thought that the prosthetics and all the makeup
stuff. I was
stuff,
not a fan of those.
More distracting than anything else.
Well, and it was a problem because there's one point where you actually see them facing each other on the screen,
yeah.
centered, and very well I could tell right there. I'm like, it's not the same profile.
Yeah, yeah.
They specifically the nose. They changed Joseph Gordon-Levitt's nose, and it did not match Bruce Willis's nose.
That's right.
I'm like...
Why did you do it? What's the point if you're not going to make it exactly the same?
That's very weird. And this is weird, and I can't give too many examples, really. The couple of funny moments in the movie really made me laugh. There were a couple of just really clever jokes in it. The one I really like was Jeff Daniels telling him not to go to France, to go to China. And he says, I'm going to France. He's like, I'm from the future. Trust me. Go to China. He's like, I'm going to France.
I wonder how difficult it would have been just to have Bruce Willis play both parts.
Nowadays,
I mean,
we could have the whole Captain America. Had to
hear him. Yeah, exactly. Captain America is what I'm thinking of because here were now. You know, I'm also thinking of in X-Men when they sort of made those two actors younger.
Yes, and Benjamin Button.
Right. Well, I'm thinking of Captain America though, in that. In X-Men, they made those actors look younger, but it was a very brief part of the movie, so
maybe it wasn't
that difficult to do. It didn't cost that much. But for Captain America, a significant portion of the film, they used this effect. So I wonder how easy it would have been just to have Bruce Willis.
I feel like it would have been easier to make Joseph Gordon-Levitt old.
I mean, well, that's true.
They do that shit all the
time.
Yeah,
you're right. I didn't even think of that. Yes, you're right. That's probably what they should have done. And actually, that makeup work is looking better and better all the time. I don't know how they're figuring it out. But
we went to the trouble of casting an old Paul Dano.
Yeah.
We didn't just age him either.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do have to say this, and
odd casting choices. When
I know what I'm saying when I say this, and I'm prepared to deal with that. And I do think I'm not taking a lot of heat for this. I think this is a fault of filmmaking and film casting, and the sexism inherent in all of this stuff. This movie doesn't remotely pass the Bechdel test. There are exactly two females in this. They have fairly small parts. And they are completely isolated from one another.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, they cast two women that looked enough alike that the second one was there for probably about 15 minutes of the movie before I was sure she wasn't the first woman. Seriously, I thought... Because we talked, you know, she had her kid and all of this stuff, and so I thought, this is where she lives, and this is her kid, and I'm like... This is weird. And eventually I'm like, I don't think this is the same woman, but it was just such silly sort. I mean, it was just skinny blonde woman of about the same age.
Yeah.
And given no particular motivation.
Well, it would have been interesting if, really there wasn't any reason why if we're going to talk about casting, why the main character couldn't have been female.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But, you know, obviously...
There's certain tropes and cliches they were playing with.
I realize that, but I don't... Yeah, that's a really good point. Why couldn't they just age the younger actor instead of casting two actors?
They also were overly fond of winches. Anytime anyone got shot, they flew backwards.
Yeah.
And originally, it all happened in the same spot, and I thought it was fine. But then later, we had one of the few action scenes. People who think it's an action movie, it's not so much. Mm. That threw the producer. She came into it thinking it was basically an action movie with a time travel twist, and there was just going to be lots of chase scenes and gunfights and stuff. It's not that movie. But there was one of the action scenes, and lots of people shoot, and this guy got shot and flew away. So, and I'm like, that seemed weird. And so yeah, I determined that was the last day they had rented that winch, and they were like, we're going to use it.
Maybe so.
But yeah, done talking about that. So that's it. So we should probably take out the hat.
Yeah, probably should. All right.
See if these new mics let you hear the hat differently. What do we got?
Sir Guido.
Sir Guido, who, by the way, produced lovely new intro and outro that we will be using now that you heard for the first time on this episode. You haven't even heard the outro yet, but there is one to go with the intro. And it's nice. And did lovely, lovely episode 100 intro.
Yes, exactly.
I enjoyed that a lot. It was really funny to me because he asked who actually ended up being on the episode. And I told him, like I've been telling everybody, this was on Twitter. And I said, you'll just have to listen and hear and wait to see, you know. And he DM'd me back. He's like, no, seriously, I want to know because I'm mentioning them by name in the intro. And I was like, oh, sorry. Then it'll be Margaret, Beth, and Trishan. And then he got confused because he thought Beth was Mark's wife.
Oh.
And I was like, no. And the funny thing was trying to explain Beth. I'm like, Beth is Beth.
Yeah.
She is very active on the blog and in writing into the hat. And she goes by the name Beth. Yeah. So that's her.
Not complicated. But no, the work he did for the intro and outro for 100, excellent.
That was very
and
cool.
Also the new intro and I outro like we're going to be using
For now
are very good, and I do appreciate it. You know, something else when I was listening to...
By the way, people, tell me how annoying that cough was, because I know in the past my coughs have killed... We have lost listeners because of my coughs. This one, I did pretty much what I usually do when I cough, so I want to know if it was better or worse. I hope you people are taking notes. We want a lot of feedback on our feedback. Get it? See what I did. We want a lot of details on how the sound quality is this time.
Anyway, I was saying I was listening to old podcasts, and Sir Guido said something about being interested in helping me get my books on audio, and I guess I'd forgotten he'd said anything like that. But
well, and that was always a project we had in mind.
And he he didn't think that he wasn't sure how well he'd do. But the fact is, you know, Sir Guido, as everybody now knows, he's got a really good voice.
Oh yeah,
and he's
definitely
great at changing it and doing characters and things like that. So, you know, I might take him up on that. But first, I think we need to figure out how we're going to do this new radio project that we're working on.
Yeah, since obviously the sound equipment we have ain't for shit to do it.
Anyway, Sir Guido says, Dear Hadlets, my wife likes chocolate desserts and I like fruit desserts. Which do you like?
Sir Guido writes a lot of dessert questions.
Well, this is a hard question for me, really, because
you love fruit desserts.
Yes.
And you love chocolate.
Right. And,
but not necessarily chocolate desserts.
I have not been a chocolate fan my whole life. Because keep in mind that for a long time, I thought chocolate...
Was milk chocolate.
Was milk, like Hershey's milk chocolate.
Well, which, yeah.
Which, I'm not going to say I didn't like it, but it didn't bowl
it's
me over.
It's not the same as British chocolate
I didn't understand why everybody was so
let
nuts
alone
about
Swiss.
It.
Swiss, yeah.
It was just another kind of candy, and not even my favorite kind of candy. It wasn't until I had, like, real chocolate, and dark chocolate.
Yes.
Really dark chocolate that I that I got crazy about. Now, and before that, my favorite desserts were mostly pastries, you know, donuts and things like that. But I did like pies, especially fruit pies, cherry pies, apple pies, peach pies, blueberry pies, strawberry pies, strawberry rhubarb pies. I mean, all of them. Mm. I loved them all.
Gooseberry?
Yes, I did like gooseberry pies, but I didn't have that very often.
You and my mom. That's it.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't had it in years. I probably would like it now. Growing up, I thought it was atrocious.
No, gooseberry pies are good. Now, but see, now that, and the thing about chocolate desserts is I started liking chocolate in the part of my life where I wasn't eating dairy and, you know, I was already a vegetarian. So you know, it's not like I've had a lot of chocolate mousse or chocolate cheesecake or chocolate anything.
Yeah.
And while I do like chocolate ice cream, or when I eat it, it's made from coconut milk, which is awesome. And I remember when I was growing up, I did like chocolate pudding, but I don't remember liking it like it was amazing or anything.
Yeah.
But I think just about any chocolate dessert that's made of like quality dark chocolate, I think I would like just because it's quality dark chocolate.
I would assume, yeah.
But I don't know if I would say I would like a chocolate dessert better than fruit desserts. I mean, I pretty much like my chocolate, just a regular chocolate bar. I do like, I like almonds in my chocolate, even the dark chocolate sometimes. But I don't know if I'd think of that as dessert.
Oddly enough, the producer discovered that her favorite kind of ice cream that we could get, we would try to figure out like what's going to be the favorite flavor. And we eventually figured out her favorite flavor, Blue Bunny Toasted Almond Fudge, which is just chocolate ice cream with almonds in it.
Which, when I ate ice cream, that was my favorite
also. And
there's
so many amazing, crazy flavors that can be really good, but it's just straightforward.
Yep.
And so whenever we're going to get ice cream and she doesn't know what kind, she's just like, well, I'll go with that. But
yeah, I love Toasted Almond Fudge ice cream.
She used to give me crap for this a lot. And again, it came up mostly for ice cream. Back in the day when we weren't really paying attention to what we were eating, it was not uncommon that we would get ice cream in the form of we'd each get a pint of Ben and Jerry's when we were at the store.
Mm-hmm.
And she frequently, almost exclusively, wanted the very chocolatey one, the New York fudge brownie ones or the, you know, the other things like that are really chocolate. And I would frequently get other varieties, like pistachio one or like, you know, like a... some sort of fruit involved one, you know, things, strawberries and cream or things like that.
Right.
But not all the time. And so she would say, you don't really like the chocolate ice cream. I said, no, there's just a mood for me. There are times when I love, I mean, I adore chocolate. As I believe I said, if I was stuck with one dessert, it might be chocolate mousse. But I don't know if I'm in the mood for something fruity or something, you know, even vanilla-y.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm in the mood. My dessert cravings tend to be kind of specific.
Mm.
Gun to my head, fruit desserts versus chocolate desserts, I'd probably go with the chocolate desserts. But I don't know.
Well, here's another thing. If I were ordering pie at, say, I don't know, Village Inn or wherever, I would hardly ever get, say, French silk or something like that. I would always get cherry or something else.
I discovered just a few years ago raisin cream.
Yeah, I've had that. That's pretty good.
Never had heard of it. It's basically custard pie with raisins in it that have largely rehydrated themselves and some meringue on the top.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's not bad. And I think what it is, I like custard pie.
I'm not a huge fan of custard, but if they do something with it like that, then I like it okay. But yeah, and I, of course, I haven't had any of this stuff for a long time because it was while I was working at where we used to work that I stopped doing, you know, dairy in a big way. But before that, my favorite ice cream was Toasted Almond Fudge when I could find it. I mean, that's always what I ordered because chocolate and almonds, you know.
Oh, I'm still so mad. Our neighbor comes from a family of Hy-Vee employees. He's not a Hy-Vee employee, but, like, his father is and has been for many years, and his sibling is, and, you know, there's a lot of Hy-Vee workers there.
A regional supermarket here in Iowa.
Yes, right? Sorry, Hy-Vee, yeah. It's a regional chain around here.
Employee-owned.
Anyway, he discovers one year, and he won't shut up about it, root beer float ice cream, Hy-Vee brand, root beer float ice cream.
Oh.
And it's essentially like a sherbet or a sorbet, root beer flavored, but it's like an ice more than an ice cream,
mm-hmm.
swirled up with vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, it tastes just like a root beer float to me. And he will not shut up about it. And it annoys me secretly. I don't give him crap. But he talks about it a lot, that they got it and he loves it. And I'm just, anytime anybody's like that obsessed with something, I'm like, oh, whatever. But so one time he's over there and you got to try it. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. So he makes me some of it. Tastes just like root beer float. It's amazing. Because I like root beer floats, but I've always considered them sort of messy and difficult to work with. It was amazing. So he gives me this.
Yeah.
It's like August.
Okay.
This is a seasonal thing for them.
Okay.
So once the summer is over, it goes away. Like they have, you know, they have like a hot cocoa and marshmallow flavor ice cream, and it's only around in the wintertime, you know. Eggnog ice cream, that kind of thing. This one's their summer one, so it goes away. Next summer comes around, getting real excited, checking every time we go shopping. And I finally ask one of the guys there, he's like, I don't know, man. It's never showed up again.
Huh.
It has never come back. And the reason I told you the first part about the Hy-Vee family is because anytime we all have a family get-together, and we usually get invited to those because they're our best friends and we've helped raise their kids and we live next door, I totally give his family shit. I'm like, what is going on? You work there. Where is it? And it looks like it's just gone.
That's too bad.
And I'm like, this went on for years, and you finally let me try it. I fell in love with it, and now it's gone. And so I hate him forever.
The thing, Hy-Vee is, they make a lot of good stuff. I mean, they have a lemon pepper that's really good.
Not a big lemon pepper fan. I grew up with a lot of lemon pepper because my mother loves it. A big fan.
They make great pickles. And without adding extra sugar, which I don't know if the recipe's still like that, but for a while it was.
And really good adult diapers. Hy-Vee brand adult disposable undergarments.
I wouldn't know anything about that. But the fact is, when Hy-Vee makes something, they usually do a pretty good job. But I'm surprised if they had something that was so popular, they'd discontinue it.
Well, it appears to have just been popular with me and the neighbor.
Oh, I see.
I assume.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
Okay.
So thank you for bringing up that painful memory,
Sir Guido.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to move on. Oh, I miss you. I miss you, root beer float ice cream. Oh. This one has been abridged.
Okay.
A little bit. As from Dave of Id.
Okay, good.
Who I've seen recently, and yeah. I will be seeing again this weekend.
We haven't heard from him on the
We're
podcast
going to be
for a while.
Play testing a role playing game he invented.
Oh, that he invented? Oh,
yes.
You know, you
created. He created several. It was sort of a competition thing, and he didn't win the competition. But he had me edit them later, because he wants to turn them into real games.
Mm-hmm.
And one in particular, the producer and I are going to go up there, and with him and his wife, we're going to play test it on Saturday.
Good. Sounds like fun.
Yes. He asks, excuse me.
You're already bored with his question?
No,
that's
it's been
very
a
nice.
Very long week.
Yeah, it has been.
Dear TMTH, what is your favorite television commercial?
Wow.
It's kind of apt. The Super Bowl just came
wow,
through.
Yeah.
And so that's nice.
I actually did watch a lot of the Super Bowl commercials. I didn't think they were as bad as the last couple years in terms of being offensive.
I have been shown one, and it annoyed me a great deal. But
they
weren't
good. It
was shown to me by somebody who genuinely thought it was wonderful, who might get wind if I say here, so I'm not going to talk about which one that was.
They weren't good, but they didn't seem as bad as in previous years. But I wouldn't say that any of them really impressed me or that I thought, oh, this is really great. They did have a commercial where they played the recording of Paul Harvey's God Made a Farmer, which I've always liked that that recording from Paul Harvey. And, the pictures they showed, I don't know if they took any pictures of any Midwestern farmers. I don't know. These seemed like ranchers and the like, you know, maybe further
Whose
west.
Whose commercial was it?
It was a Dodge Ram commercial.
Okay.
A lot of the farmers were wearing like cowboy hats and stuff like that, where, you know, most of the farmers in Iowa that I know of wear seed corn caps and stuff. Yeah. You know, they're not really.
Well, it depends. You head south, you get ranchers.
Yeah, and well, and west. Which, that wasn't a big deal, but it's like, you know, it was just funny. I'm looking at this, and none of the, I could almost tell none of the pictures were from the Midwest. But it didn't matter, because the little thing, the God Made a Farmer thing that he does is really, really good. Although there were a lot of things he talked about farmers doing that a lot of farmers don't do anymore. But still, it was really touching, and I liked hearing that, and the photos they had with it were pretty good. But as far as a favorite commercial, I mean, you know, we've watched commercials our whole lives,
yes,
thousands of them. How could we ever pick a favorite commercial?
Well, I have one that I'm particularly in love with at the moment.
At the moment?
Yes.
What is that one?
It has been a recent one. It is, there's a series of them, but there's one in particular that I'm into, that I believe is a commercial for adopting shelter animals.
Okay.
And the premise of the entire series is basically you see, like, there's like a cat or a dog or something in this person's house, and you hear their internal monologue as a relatively new member of the family, and they say funny things.
Oh.
And I forget what the slogan is, but it's like, you know, there's a get a new member of the family or something like that. But the first one I ever saw that caught me so off guard that I only started paying attention like halfway through, and then I had to back it up and play it again and just was dying. And then the next time it was on and the producer was in the room, I made her watch it. Is this cat, he's sitting on the couch in the house, and I don't remember the exact word. I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes, cause I just love this so much, if I can find it. But he's like, you know, I like it here, but they've got this one pet already, and he's kind of weird. He just spends all day in the litter box outside, the big one. And then you look, and there's like a picture window, and it's a little kid playing in the sandbox, and the cat's just watching. And he's like, look, what is he doing? God, oh, that's disgusting. Seriously. And then it's like, just poop already. You're making me nervous. It was hilarious. Oh, the cat is totally like freaked out, but it's in that sort of voice that like he's freaked out but amused and disgusted. He's like, oh my God, what is that? And then after a long pause, he's like, just poop already. You're making me uncomfortable. So I loved that one.
That does sound like a good one.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, a favorite commercial. And I don't see very many commercials much anymore. I mean,
us either, because we have a DVR.
Yeah.
So we pass by them. The only time really I see commercials is if I have something on in the background because I just want some TV on, or if the producer is watching something without me because she seldom remembers to fast forward through the commercials.
Well, but I also, you know, when there is a commercial on, I totally ignore it. I don't even, I mean, there might be some really clever and funny commercials out there, and I don't even care because I'm totally tuning out because it's a commercial. But I, since I don't watch network TV very often at all, now you get, I do watch some television online, and you get commercials nowadays.
Well, on some of them, like Hulu and YouTube,
yeah,
will get some.
But, you know, like I say, I just pretty much ignore them. So, I mean, most of the commercials I think of are that I think of with any fondness are from a long time ago. And I can't think of any that, you know, is like a favorite or anything. I don't think I have a favorite.
I kind of miss the Imperial Margarine ones.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of, there are ad campaigns that are like, well, like, didn't Burger King do one recently with that, with the king and the big head and everything? I mean, so you get that stuff sometimes still, but not very often. Not very often. What's some other ones like that where there's like a recurring character?
Well, all the auto insurance ones have
Geico,
one right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Geico and Progressive and Nationwide.
Yeah, that's right.
The Mayhem commercials for Allstate.
Well, yes, I really liked those
are a quite, lot. Those are quite entertaining.
I liked those a lot. I do have to say, those were really, really good.
I'm a raccoon.
Yeah, I was going to say the raccoon one was my favorite.
I've been living in your attic for 4 days. I've had like 6 raccoon babies up here.
That was a really good one.
And I felt so vindicated when I finally confirmed that that was Dennis Duffy from 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah.
People did not believe me.
They didn't?
No.
What, didn't they recognize him?
Oh.
Huh. No, that's who it was.
He cleans up a lot and he loses a lot of the accent.
I suppose, but
on that.
That was a really good...
Still haven't seen the end of 30 Rock. It's sitting on our DVR.
Commercials. Was that a commercial? I think it was a commercial where a guy was, he was bothering people, like someone was trying to read the paper and he was pushing at it and he was knocking things out of people's hands or whatever. And then later, as the commercial progresses, you realize that he's the wind. And he's excited because it's a commercial for some wind energy, whatever.
Okay.
So now he's going to actually have some job, you know, that's meaningful, and because most people are just annoyed by him. Oh yeah, he would mess up someone's hair and stuff. It was pretty funny, actually. Very clever. I like commercials like that. But
there was a commercial that annoyed the shit out of me because it was amazing and so stupid. It was one of the later Axe body spray commercials in which a guy put on the Axe body spray and angels literally fell down from heaven.
Okay.
And the thing is, from a filmmaking standpoint, it was amazing.
Why do you say that?
Because he's in this, he appears to be in some sort of like European town or something. There's very large buildings and like narrow streets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he puts on the spray, and then literally out of the sky, like throughout the town, there's very dramatic music stuff. These angels fall and hit the pavement and like, you know, crack the pavement and all this.
Huh.
And they get up and it's all, they look like Victoria's Secret models, but they've got halos and they've got wings. Really good digital effects on this. And they all sort of look around confused, and they all look a little bit different and stuff. And they slowly sort of start congregating, and they congregate near him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at him. And then one angel steps forward and stares at him, and she grabs her halo and throws it on the ground, and it shatters. 'Cause that's the thing. It's the stupidest, but it was gorgeous. Mm. It was amazingly shot and, like, edited. And, oh, I was wondering. I was like, you fuckers. This is such a terrible... Why? Whoever made this commercial, what are you doing? You should have said, no, Axe body spray, I'm going to go make a movie.
That looks this amazing.
Exactly.
And isn't ridiculous.
Exactly. You should have made Golden Compass. That would have solved a lot of issues.
Well... I guess that's how it goes. Favorite commercial? That's hard. I'd be interested to know what our listeners think about that.
What is your favorite commercial?
Favorite commercial.
Tell us by going to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You know, the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Because if you go there, themagicaltalkinghat.com, you can see what other people had to say and see the link to the cat video if I can find it. Yes. Also, you should write the hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, that's TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Although I think the new outro reminds you as well. So
yes.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's a good thing about the new outro. It gives both of the addresses for the blog.
Yeah. And seriously, people, hard hats, this is a call to action. Get on this episode and tell us about sound quality all around. Levels,
mm-hmm.
My coughing, the background noise, the general sound compared to previous. Any advice you have on making it better? Because we're really starting out here, and I'm sure it'll change over time and things, but I spent like $400 on this goddamn equipment. So we're using it.
Yeah. Wow.
One way or another. So make that happen.
And I'm sure we'll get it to be a fairly significant improvement over how things were. Surely.
It's got a main out. It's got a main out left and right.
Yeah. Do you really want to talk about this right now?
I don't know. We're a little early to end, but I don't think we have enough questions. I mean, time for questions.
So you want to talk about this?
Well, I'm like, if we can... Because I think Happy Jacks, which has a really great sound, is a similar setup, but it's not a USB plug. Mm-hmm. They plug the mixer into the speaker jack on the laptop.
Really?
And I don't know if that improves things or not, because, again, there's no compression.
No.
No.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
My knowledge of audio recording and equipment has increased like fourfold in the last week. I still don't know shit. It's amazing.
Well, as much recording as I've been involved in, you'd think I'd know more, but I don't.
I would think you would know more.
I know, but I'm just pissed off
that you know as little as you do.
Yeah.
Also, people, here is my lesson to you that I have learned the hard way. Unless it is a special dual channel preamp, you need one preamp for every source of input you're going to do.
Yeah.
So one for each mic, one for each instrument. What's a preamp, you say? I'm really not going to get into that right now. That was a complicated question in and of itself. But should you ever find yourself in need of a preamp, remember this.
Remember.
Never forget. I'm saying, I feel that the complications I have had with this sound equipment,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to overstate or anything. I feel like the problems I've had here is probably the worst thing that's happened to anybody ever.
Well, I'm glad you didn't want to overstate it.
Today, on Twitter,
yeah.
I tweeted, "Can't use the phrase first world problems anymore because it's played out. Hashtag first world problems." I was very proud of that. And Blood Sparrow retweeted it, so I felt good.
Well, thank you, Sir Guido and David of Id for
No, Dave of Id.
Sorry.
Because that's the trick. It's David.
That's right.
You see?
I messed it up.
Yeah, you've ruined his name. He's going to sue us actually. I think this is slander because it's not in print.
He was sort of introduced to the podcast in episode 50 also.
Was he?
Yeah.
He was the new listener then?
He was the new listener then, and I was making jokes about 2001 A Space Odyssey, calling him Dave, and you were saying, no, you should call him David, and now he's Dave Avid.
Yes, there we
confused.
Go.
Sorry, Dave Avid.
This is funny. Today I was talking, I got to remember what it was now, but there was something that I said I can talk to William about. I think I was talking with regard to other stuff. I was like, yeah, see what William's. And the person I was chatting with, they're like, William? And I laughed, and I was like, so you haven't started listening to the podcast yet, have you? Because they said they were going to listen. And I was like, see?
Got him.
You would know who that was if you had. She was like, no, I'm going to do it this weekend.
What were you supposed to talk to me about?
I don't remember now.
Oh.
I think we were getting into a whole discussion about how I don't like doing shit.
Oh.
But that technically I have, you do shit.
Sometimes.
And then technically I've been involved with that.
I see.
Because I've helped edit your books and now helping produce this other thing. Yeah. And I said something about it, like, I'm an idea guy and William actually does things. And they were like, William? And I was like, haven't listened, have you? And actually that was what got me into the whole partner thing we were talking about. Anyway, way off topic now.
Yeah.
So we'll see you in the future.
Yes, it'll be a couple weeks for us, but only 1 week for y'all.
Yes, so enjoy that time.
Yep, have fun.
And tell us what's wrong.
Tell us what's wrong.
Not just with the podcast, with you. What's going on with you?
Hope you enjoyed Mardi Gras and Valentine's Day.
Yes, and have a happy Lent. I'm giving up podcasting for Lent.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.